Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Sarah Mealy, sitting in for Corey Regan. Thanks for joining us today. Now, I'll be filling in for Corey for the next couple of months while Corey cares for the newest member of the Regan family.
Now, who hasn't arrived yet.
No, we don't have any news actually to report yet. But of course, when we have the news, we'll share the happy announcement.
Oh, you'll hear it here first. Yep.
Yeah, no, she's not, you know, not even close to her due date. She's got a little bit of time.
Yeah, but it's creeping up.
Yes, I'm guessing she's ready.
I think it seems to me most women in waiting are after about 6 or 7 months.
I can speak from experience.
Well, here's a look at what's coming up on the Rediscover Hour today. And answering the call and invitation to Rediscover Share. Find out about a new online opportunity to share your personal faith story and be inspired by others.
Plus, what is a parish? What is a diocese? And what does that all mean for me and my faith life? Well, we'll delve into the history of how and why the Church developed its structure with Father Michael Van Sloan. He's the pastor of St. Bartholomew in Wayzata.
And local school leaders talk about how Catholic schools help fulfill the mission of the Church in ways big and small.
But we will start our show today, like we usually do, with checking in with Joe Towalski, the editor of the Catholic Spirit. Hello, Joe.
Good morning, Sarah. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Tell me, what's going on? The paper's just out, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we had a group of seminarians at St. Paul Seminary that recently completed a summer program called Evangelization in Action. It was an 8-week program, you know, that advanced the new evangelization by taking the men out into the streets where they made door-to-door visits and were involved in other types of ministry situations. And this morning, we have with us one of those seminarians, Chad Van Hoos, who participated in the program. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, tell us a little bit about what was involved with this program, because I understand you did some work in the classroom as well as in some neighborhoods, right?
That's right. Each day, we'd have some teaching from someone from the Twin Cities about evangelization. And then in the evenings, we'd go to our parishes. And oftentimes we'd work with the lady there, we'd work with our pastor, and we'd come up with a plan on how to evangelize this parish and the neighborhoods around the parish. So mostly that included knocking on people's doors, kind of casting our nets out, and really anticipating a catch. And we just kind of went down the streets looking for whoever the Lord would lead us to, using a biblical analogy, really seeking the lost sheep. Seeking those who had left the Catholic Church, maybe those who weren't Catholic, and just looking to invite people into a relationship with Jesus in the Catholic Church.
And what parishes were you at?
My group was at St. Michael, St. Matthew, Our Lady of Guadalupe on the west side, and then there were also people at St. Joseph's in West St. Paul, Immaculate Conception in Columbia Heights, and St. Charles Borromeo in Minneapolis.
Now, I imagine you maybe got a variety of reactions when you went door to door, but could you tell us a little bit about, you know, what people said, what they thought about what you were doing when you came to their doorstep?
Sure. Well, as you can imagine, just approaching people, kind of a cold call format, a little intimidating both for them and for us, not knowing exactly what they might get and us not knowing exactly what we'd get either. But on the whole, we were welcomed pretty well. Some just kind of shut their doors and said no thanks, but others were kind of willing to at least hear who we were and what we were about. We got a lot of comments saying, okay, well, Catholics do this? We couldn't believe that. A lot of people just very surprised in what we were doing. And we actually got some very touching moments where we talked to people who had been wounded by the Church, maybe by something that Father had said years ago when they left the faith. And maybe no one even noticed that they had stopped coming to church. So it was very poignant in talking with Catholics who had stopped practicing their faith, just kind of hearing their story and being a welcoming face to them.
Mm-hmm. And in your work with parishes, I understand that maybe you started a holy hour at one of these parishes. You got one of those going. Is that right?
That's correct. At our parish at St. Michael, St. Matthew, Our Lady Guadalupe, we really looked at the parishioners who were going door-to-door with us and ask them, what are some things that we could do in this parish? What are some things we could get started here as seminarians to kind of help you in your work of evangelization? Because as much as the priests and seminarians want evangelization and want to work towards it, and we should, the laity really are the ones who can affect change in their community. So when we pose that to them, we offer them some suggestions, and one of those was a holy hour at the parish that we start, and then maybe that continues once we leave once a month. So we were actually able to kick off our first one at St. Michael's back in July, and we had a great turnout. We called all the adorers from the Adoration Chapel there and just asked them, come and pray with us for the work of the new evangelization in the church. And we had a really good turnout. Maybe about 70 parishioners came. We had exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. We prayed the Liturgy of the Hours, evening prayer together, and then we finished with an ice cream social. And there were young people, there were old people, anyone between, and they just had a really good experience in joining us and praying for the new evangelization, and then even some, like I said, going door-to-door with us, carrying on the work.
Right. And last question, just briefly, what are the biggest things that you learned from this experience?
Well, as someone preparing to be a priest, God willing, one day, I really learned that the priest is called to be an evangelist, not just someone who sits behind the desk or someone who's a functionary just at the altar or the confessional or hospital bed, but the priest is really meant to get out there. And we have heard this, you know, constantly from our Holy Fathers, and most recently from Pope Francis and Archbishop Nienstedt with this Rediscover initiative. So the priest is really meant to get out there and do as much as he can, but he's limited too. You know, we need the laity, and the priest's job with the laity is to teach them to be disciples who evangelize, because Father can't go work at Target or 3M or go work on the Senate floor. But the laity can, and the laity should be having neighborhood picnics and getting to know their neighbors and really investing into the relationships that are around them. And the priest is really meant to support those relationships and do as much as he can getting out into the community while really teaching his parishioners to be disciples.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking some time with us this morning, Chad. We'll be having another seminarian write about his experience with the Evangelization in Action program in an upcoming issue of the Catholic Spirit.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you also have an interview with Jill Riley about how the Archdiocese is working with Catholic school principals.
That's right. As the summer winds down here, you know, we're in the midst of preparing some stories for our annual Back to School section, and we'll be highlighting some of those programs and initiatives happening in our Catholic schools in the Archdiocese as they prepare to kick off a new school year. And I caught up with Dr. Riley yesterday, who's serving as interim superintendent of our Catholic schools, and she talked about some of the ways her office is helping teachers and principals prepare for the new school year, and that includes a meeting for pastors and Catholic school leaders, as well as a gathering for new principals and teachers. And I asked her about those meetings and a little bit about how parents can help their children prepare for the start of the new school year. So let's listen to some of that interview.
So the Office of Catholic Schools recently held a leadership day for pastors and school presidents and principals. Tell me a little bit about what the goal of that meeting was and what some of the topics discussed were.
The goal of the meeting was to kick off the new school year and to provide information about the Archdiocese strategic plan for Catholic schools. Within that conversation, we also launched an initiative to help teachers provide students with a very consistent curriculum and the opportunity to very frequently check to make sure that every student in the classroom is learning and growing.
I'm sure that's something parents would particularly appreciate.
I think so, and I also believe that we are a very strong school system, but we need to constantly grow and enhance what we do, and we also have to be accountable for what the students are learning and how they're progressing.
And the Archdiocese also works with new principals and new teachers that are going to be starting this fall and has been doing that. Tell me a little bit about what work your office is doing with them.
That had just happened yesterday, and it was a very exciting day because you can see teachers coming in excited about their students, excited about what they're going to teach, and talking to each other about their work. For example, there were two teachers there that were a math and a science teacher in the same school, And they started to realize that they could work together and create an integrated curriculum between math and science. Another teacher was expressing her excitement at being able to teach the arts in a Catholic school. And the principals, of course, have to consider the start of their school year and how they're going to engage and support their teachers. And there was a lot of excitement around that as well.
For a lot of kids here now, the start of the school year is just a few weeks away. Parents have been thinking about it. I think kids are maybe trying not to think about it. But what are some things that maybe parents can do in these next couple of weeks to help get their children ready for the new school year?
Well, I think, first of all, as you were saying, some children may be thinking about it and some may not. It would be very helpful for parents to engage their children in a conversation about what are they looking forward to at school. If they sense some hesitation, what are some concerns that child might have? How can the parent help them to address that? Certainly, it's always helpful to have children get back into their school day routine, going to bed at a time that's appropriate, getting up at that time, 1 to 2 weeks before school starts, so they're really ready. And then there's all the fun preparations we all remember. For me, it was shopping for the new pair of school shoes or buying a shiny new notebook. But that's also a nice thing to do if the parents are aware of what supplies or clothing items the child needs at this point. If they're not, they will soon find out from the teachers, I'm sure. Also, reconnecting children and even teenagers with friends from school that they might not have seen over the summer is a nice way to begin to kick off the school year as well.
That time is creeping up, Joe.
Very quickly. Summer's going by fast.
Yeah. Okay, now let's move on to the Pope. He's a soccer fan.
He is a soccer fan, and of course, you know, he's making news just about every day with some of his homilies and talks. And he had a talk with some members of the Argentine and Italian national soccer teams, and, you know, reminded them, that was earlier this week, reminded them about the importance of good sportsmanship and that there are millions of people, young and old, that view them as heroes and role models, and they need to live up to that by living out virtues like honesty and respect for others. And I just thought it was very poignant because we Americans are big sports fans, of course. I'm a big baseball fan.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been disappointing, you know, to hear about players using performance-enhancing drugs and lying about it again. And too many athletes, you know, don't live up to the standard they should, knowing that young people are looking up to them. But there are some really good ones out there. And one of them is Matt Burke, you know, St. Paul native, recent Super Bowl champ with the Baltimore Ravens. And we have a short story about him this week. He gave a talk last Friday at the monthly St. Paul's Outreach Men on a Mission gathering. And, you know, Matt talked about the importance of standing up for your faith, even when there's a lot of pressure from others not to. And, you know, as you know, he's been a strong defender of religious freedom and the institution of marriage. And he told the men, you know, we have to defend the faith, but we have to show the beauty of the faith and all it has to offer as well, and invite people to come and see more about it. And he said, and this is the great quote I thought, you know, he said, I make no excuses, no qualms about being Catholic. I'm proud of it.
Fantastic.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Now, there's the kind of athlete that you want to be a role model for your kids. Yep. And, you know, Pope Francis would be certainly proud. And, you know, there are others out there. So, you know, we just need to hear more about them. And people can read more about Matt's talk on the back page of this week's edition.
Well, you have something on Elliot Morris, too. We visited with Elliot last week, and he does our song.
That's right. A couple things that have been, you know, heard on the show previously. We have articles in the paper this week. We have a nice interview with Elliot. And talked to him a little bit about his songwriting and his Catholic faith, and I think people can learn a little bit more about him from our story. And we also have a story, an interview with Mary Jo Copeland, Sharing and Caring Hands. She has her newly revised biography out, Great Love.
An amazing woman.
A little bit about that. And, of course, we have the profiles of our 10 Leading with Faith winners. We had a wonderful lunch on Wednesday at St. Catherine University where Archbishop Nienstedt presented their awards. It's always a great day, and they always give a little speech. It's always very touching, you know, what motivated them or what motivates them in their faith. And you know, it's very poignant who they have to thank for where they are today. So people can read Q&As with all of the winners in this week's issue.
August 15th edition of The Catholic Spirit on your doorstep or on your coffee table now. Like Augustine heard, pick up and read.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Well, you can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week right here on the Rediscover Hour. And you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up, what is a parish? How come we have dioceses? Why is the church structured the way it is? We'll get a primer on how the church is organized. Plus, hear from local Catholic school leaders how their ministry helps fulfill the mission of the church.
And if you've experienced the beauty and peace of living in relationship with Jesus Christ and the church that he founded over 2,000 years ago, well, you probably have a story to tell that could change someone's life. We'll share one way to do that, just that, and we'll get inspired by other stories too. We'll have all that exciting details when we're right back. Rediscover.
Recently, the National Association of Engineering named the top 20 greatest engineering accomplishments of the last century. Coming in at number 10 was air conditioning. That's ahead of space exploration, the internet, and even the toaster. DuckTech HVAC knows how a broken or poorly functioning air conditioner this time of year can affect your productivity. Another sleepless night or sticky day can bring everyone's attitude down. DuckTech cooling technicians are helping people right now with quick and reliable service or a new Armstrong cooling system for their home or office. DuckTech HVAC is supporting Relevant Radio because its business principles are the same. You'll receive fair, honest, quick service and installation. Add to that their experience in the Twin Cities, and you can call DuckTech with confidence knowing you'll be back enjoying a hot summer day in no time. That's why DuckTech HVAC recommends Armstrong for your home or office. Get personal attention to your cooling problem now by calling DuckTech Air Systems at 651-330-8744. 651-330-8744. Find out why DuckTech and Armstrong Air are the professional's choice.
In the end, the incredible invitation before us is the transformative nature of our personal relationship with Jesus. We could live our whole life doing all kinds of things that society would see of great value. But the greatest thing that we can do is to welcome Jesus into our life, and having Jesus in our life to become the possibility of an encounter for others with the person of Jesus.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sonic.
And I'm Sarah Mealy. Now, today in answering the call, we are so thrilled to announce the launch of a new website. It's a complimentary website to rediscoverfaith.org called Rediscover Share. And it's at rediscovershare.org.
Well, we heard the soundbite from Father Peter Laird on the way in from the break about how it's every Catholic's responsibility to share the faith and let others know about the joy that they've found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But it can be hard to heed this call.
I don't think it comes naturally for us, but that is where rediscovershare.org comes in. Now, on that site, you're going to be able to share your personal faith story and be inspired by many others as well. And it's something that we've just launched as of yesterday.
Tell me a little bit about what we'll find if we go to rediscovershare.org.
Well, there's a couple of different components of the website. One of the things you're going to see right off the bat is that there are featured stories right on the homepage of you know, real members of the church here in our local church, here in the Twin Cities and broader 12 county area, that are telling their stories of faith. And many of them, some of them are conversion stories, some of them are just sort of a reignition of their faith, Paul. And you can, you know, listen to the end of their stories. There's videos there. So there's an opportunity to learn about others and what's inspired them. And
I always say conversion is an ongoing process anyway. So they're all conversion stories.
Yeah, and none of them, you know, I don't think any of them are saying, hey, I finally made it. You know, I'm done.
Oh, thank goodness nobody's saying that.
Yeah. Well, and of course, as Father Laird, our Vicar General, always says, we're all on our way. But I do think that the ones I've seen here, they're just very inspirational. And I think sometimes we need to hear that. We need to hear those other inspirational stories from others.
So true. They're vital, I think, in anyone's faith life, is hearing from others how they've gotten to where they are and where they're going.
Yeah, and I think people will recognize so many aspects of their own lives when they hear those stories, and I think say, hey, this is possible for me as well. Maybe you have a story out there that you want to tell. Well, you have an opportunity through this website to do it. So the second big element of that website, Paul, is that very easy to do it. You can share your own story or submit it for consideration to be put out on the website or to be discussed here on the radio show or in our newspaper, The Catholic Spirit. And so you can click on a button and it just walks you step by step through how to do that. And
it's pretty easy, isn't it?
Oh, okay. It's super easy. And in fact, you know what? You don't have to do a video. You can just simply up to 600 words, type out your story, you know. And one of the other important elements here, because people are not quite sure where to start, is that we have this sort of third section on that website, which we call tips for sharing. So, yeah, I mean, people really need to know, hey, how would I think about this? And you know what? There's a beautiful model for sharing your story that actually has roots right in the Bible. There's scriptural references. We think about story of the blind man who regained his sight, you know, when he encountered Jesus. And of course, he's peppered with all these questions. What happened to you? And how did you get your sight back? And he just says, you know, it's a three-step process in the story, right? I was blind.
Yep.
And then I encountered Jesus, and now I can see. And that's really this three-step process of relating to other people and revealing what happened to you in your encounter with Christ and in your experience with the church.
And what a way to segue into the example that we have.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Well, let's hear about it.
Okay. Well, here's Michelle Denise Michaels. This is a testimonial that's on the site. She lost most of her sight as a young girl.
My prayer is always, God, help me to see myself the way you see me. And over time, my blindness became a gift. And today when people ask me, well, what do you do? I say, well, I sing about the love of God and I speak about the gift of blindness. And I learned that the man born blind in the Bible was born blind so that the power of God would be manifested in him. I learned that when we embrace our cross and we give it to God, in our weakness, we are made strong. I've come to truly believe that I am a beloved child of God, that we all are beloved children of God. And most of all, I pray that all of us will strive every day to know him, to love him, and to serve him.
How beautiful hearing her talk about blindness as a gift.
She's actually a beautiful person. I got to know Michelle. We were fellow students at the Catechetical Institute, and she's an amazing person with a beautiful story.
And she is a musician as well?
She has quite a gift. She's a talented singer. And in fact, Paul, we heard last week from Elliot Morris, who will be singing at our October 12th Rediscover Catholic Celebration. Michelle is our other artist who will be performing a song there as well.
I look forward to hearing her. Well, we heard a little bit from Father Peter Laird coming out of the break about the power of personal witness. He's got some more for us as well.
So. Yeah, he gave a very powerful presentation on July 20th. Actually, it was an encore presentation from one he gave in May. And we had about 100 people attend that. But what he did was just really outline, you know, why we really are called to do this and then helped people through this sort of three essential steps in sharing your story.
What we want to do is do this well. And we do that first by relating. When you do your best job as a parent, when you do your best job as a supervisor, when you do your best job as a spouse or a friend, you do that by relating. We want, my brothers and sisters, as we appreciate this gift, is first of all, to appreciate how Jesus relates to us. Jesus becomes the way that we relate to other people. And we've emphasized that simple point. We relate to others as they are, not as we would want them to be. because that's the way Jesus relates to us. If every human heart has been created by God, if St. Augustine is correct that the heart is restless until it rests in God, then I have nothing ever to be afraid when it comes to deal with another human heart. Because that heart longs for God. And in the mystery of God's plan, I, you, we have become the place of the possibility of an encounter. Heart to heart. Cor ad cor loquitur, as Cardinal Newman would say. We want to relate as Jesus relates to us. And I have to tell you, sometimes the best place to relate is in the most ordinary circumstances of our life. In the very ordinary realities of our life. More on that in a moment. We want to reveal. After having related to another, we want to reveal how the good news has been transformative in my life. What's the difference the good news makes? We will relate and we will reveal an awful lot, because as human beings, we can't but communicate. But so often we communicate about the most trivial things. How well do we communicate about our personal relationship with Jesus, which inevitably releases us to joy? Joy is the infallible sign of the Christian. So here's a real test for you. How many people in your life would say you're joyful? If we don't pass that test, then even the silent witness of our life is not doing so well.
The Vicar General for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, Father Peter Laird.
Yes, and out on rediscovershare.org, you can actually hear Father Laird in three parts of that presentation. You can pick up the whole thing if you're unable to attend on July 20th. So let's talk about a few details.
Let's hear the straight stuff.
Okay, well, the site launched yesterday, and we want to hear from you. You can complete a written sharing form out on the site. You can find out how to submit your audio or video of your personal testimony for potential posting on the site. And the address, again, is rediscovershare.org. It's all one word, rediscovershare.org. And you can get there from the Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on the rotator box in the top when you see Rediscover Share. So that address, again, rediscovershare.org.
Thank you for sharing some news about Rediscover Share. Well, coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, the back-to-school sales are in full swing. Kids are returning to class in less than a month. Find out how Catholic schools help fulfill the mission of the Church. We'll talk with local Catholic school leaders about the sacred call to form young people in the faith.
And as we've been talking about this hour, we're going to talk about why the Church is organized into parishes and that are in turn organized into dioceses. And what does it all mean for you and your faith, right? Well, we'll delve into the history of how and why the Church developed its structure when we come right back.
Rediscover.
Coordinated Business Systems.
The power of money.
Remember last month, Coordinated President Jim Arricchio kicked off the Power of 30 promotion, and Minnesota Twins manager Ron Gardenhire was pretty excited.
Hey Jim, the Power of 30 promotion. I understand I could win the use of a new Jeep Wrangler for 2 years from Park Chrysler Jeep in Burnsville. To enter, I just go to Facebook and like Coordinated Business Systems.
Jim had a little reminder for Ron.
As a coordinated spokesperson, Ron, you're not eligible.
I could also win an 80-inch Sharp Aquasport.
Not only was Ron not eligible, but Coordinated has just announced that Aaron Larson from Badness Heights is the winner of the Sharp Aquasport. And there's two more winners to go. One for the use of a new Jeep Wrangler for 2 years from Park Chrysler Jeep, and another for a golf trip for two to Pebble Beach. Just go to Facebook and like Coordinated for your chance to win. The Coordinated Business Systems Power of 30 promotion. See entry form for rules and details. Details, no purchase necessary.
Well, Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Sarah Mealy. Now, today we're going in-depth on one of the topics that's in the current Rediscover pullout section of the Catholic Spirit.
That article is entitled, Rediscover the Local Church, What is Parish? A Diocese. Why do we have them? By Father Michael Van Sloan, pastor of St. Bartholomew in Wayzata. Father Van Sloan is joining us on the phone for what promises to be a fascinating discussion that reaches back centuries. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Paul.
Now, first of all, before we get into the way the church is organized, tell us a little bit about where you are right now and why.
Well, I'm in Buffalo, New York. I'm with the Minnesota Vikings. I'm the chaplain, the Catholic chaplain for the Vikings, and so I'll have Mass for them this afternoon before the game tonight at 7 o'clock.
That has to be amazing. Well, let's talk about the organization of the church. It always fascinates me that the entire world is subdivided into dioceses and parishes.
Well, the church needs to do that for efficiency. When you have 1 billion members, you know, you wouldn't want it to be haphazard and you wouldn't want it to be disorganized.
Very true. Well, so tell me a little bit about what that means to me sitting in the pew.
Well, I think for sitting in the pew, having this kind of level of organization creates all kinds of consistency. You know, you go from parish to parish and it's the same, but that happens from diocese to diocese and country to country. If you worship in your neighboring parish, you worship in another diocese or another country. There's this consistency in doctrine and practice.
Father Van Sloan, it's Sarah Mealy. How are you?
Sarah. Good morning. Great. I'm doing fine.
Good to talk to you. You know, thank you so much for writing this article. I think, you know, Catholics just may take these things for granted, but may not know a little of the history. Can you give us a little bit of the history of how all of the way in which the structure of the church is today, how that all got started?
Well, it certainly needed to evolve over time. So in the early church, during the apostolic period, the church was so small that a group of families would get together and they would be like in together someone's living room. And then as it grew larger, they would get to a house where there was a large house. You know, as St. Paul did his travels, he would found churches in local towns. But as the church exceeded that, then they needed to go to larger buildings and higher levels of organization.
Well, we're more and more hearing the term local church. What does that refer to? Is that the diocese? Is it the parish? Is it the family?
Well, the local church refers mostly to the diocese. So you have the universal church, which is the worldwide church, and it functions as a functional unit. Each diocese is its local church, and then the parish would be a phase of that local church.
Well, that makes sense, and I think as I was reading a little bit about your article, which is now, as we said, in the Catholic Spirit this week, there's some history there that goes back to, I think, some of the Roman Empire. Maybe you can tell a little bit about that.
Well, so the church really grew in terms of numbers and in terms of geographical space. And so the Roman Empire had a way that it was subdivided by provinces. You know, so the church didn't have to come up with a new plan because it was part of the Roman Empire. You could use the same geographic groupings, you know, instead of having you know, like a governor, which would be head of a province, you would have the bishop that would be head of a diocese, so it used a parallel structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the Roman Empire fell, the church had a structure, and then it continued to build and expand upon that, so that ended up being kind of the foundation and a structural beginning for how to organize the church worldwide.
A lot of this has to do with the delegation of authority, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Tell me a little bit about how the Lord himself delegated authority.
Well, Jesus was with his disciples, and it was amazing. I mean, Jesus, being as the wonderful leader he was, couldn't do it all himself. So when it came to, like, the feeding of the 5,000, he asked each of the 12 to go out and take a certain subgroup there. You know, at the Eucharist, the Last Supper, he says, do this in memory of me, so he commissioned them to do that. When it came to the forgiveness of sins, he breathes on them and sends them forth to do that. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, he says, go preach to all nations, baptize them. So he called them over and over and over again to minister on his behalf. And so the church has done that through the delegation that he did through his disciples at the beginning.
Tell us a little bit about how that's evolved into what we have today and what we do have today in the way of delegation of authority in the church.
Well, the delegation of authority, I mean, so when it comes to bishops, bishops are appointed by the Congregation of Bishops and through the Pope. But then it comes back to the local diocese, and so a bishop is appointed, and he does all kinds of delegation, or you could call it empowerment. He's the chief shepherd, so he ordains the priest, he ordains the deacon, he appoints the pastors, he appoints the deacons, he appoints vicars, all of those sorts of things. And then as that goes down, you have a local priest at the local parish, and he further subdivides that delegation by appointing Eucharistic ministers and lectors. He has a lot of help from his staff. He hires and fires his staff. So there's a lot of layers to that, but it continues what Jesus began.
You know, Father, sometimes I hear people, particularly people actually outside of the church, that, you know, say, gosh, it's so hierarchical and there's a rigid structure. But how does the church structure, as you just have been describing it, how does that actually lead to more unity and, you know, maybe more consistency of doctrine and teachings?
Well, I mean, so for the consistency of doctrine, at the universal level, you have the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. At the local level, the bishop is the official teacher of the diocese, which causes consistency throughout the diocese. And then the official teacher at the parish level is the pastor. So all three of them would need to be in sync or in line with each other. And so the church has its checks and balances to make sure that that all takes place.
Let me ask you the big one, Father. Apostolic succession. Tell me what it is and how we see it today.
Well, apostolic succession means that we have this consistency from one generation to the next. And so the laying on of hands that goes from Peter to Cletus, Linus to Cletus to Clement, that you see this in the first popes in the church. We have an untraceable chain from the very beginning to this particular time now. And you can see it through all the bishops, and then the bishops and their ordaining of the priests. Apostolic succession even continues through the priests. And so we believe that that has to do with the valid celebration of the Mass and the valid celebration of the Sacrament of Reconciliation and the authority that's passed down from Jesus to Peter and through all of the others.
You know, I think this is something that some people, I think a light bulb goes on for them when you talk about the concept that Peter was the first pope, you know, so that you know, Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I build my church. And so apostolic succession starts there, but it continues this very day with our beloved Pope Francis.
It certainly does. And to be able to go from pope to pope to pope and see that that's all in line, unbroken, I mean, it should be a great encouragement to Catholics. It certainly is a great encouragement to me.
Another term that I hear a lot that I'd like you to explain, if you would, collegiality.
Well, collegiality, I think, is a beautiful term. It really talks about working together. You know, we talk about the body of Christ and the diversity of gifts, and so you have the head, but the eye is not more important than the ear, and the ear is not more important than this and that. So you take all of these different gifts and you pull them together, and there's just this great strength when we're all working together in cooperation with our bishop and the bishops themselves working together collegially to serve the church.
Yeah, well, actually, praise God, we have that too. I mean, I think that creates that connectivity, and I see so many benefits of that. Now, there's another concept that people have kind of a hard time getting their head around. I think sometimes it's really misunderstood, and that's that concept of subsidiarity. I can't even pronounce it, subsidiarity. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. I mean, sometimes people find subsidiarity difficult because it feels like you're less than or below if you're subsidiary to something else. But that's not really the way that the church would look at it in a positive way. It talks about each person in their appropriate role. So the bishop is there at his larger big picture role, and then the pastor would say it would be at the local role. And so it talks about doing things in appropriate relationship to your particular role. So the pastor is not going to run the diocese, but the bishop is not going to micromanage the parish. They're respecting each other in their different pieces, and so you have a line of authority that keeps everything clear and straight and functioning well.
So we have this whole fantastic structure around the world, right down to our individual parish. How does that help us as Catholics in our call to share the faith with others?
Well, I think it's just the way that the church, in the way it teaches the faith, way our liturgical life, it inspires us and it energizes us. It sends us forth, but it doesn't send us forth empty-handed. I mean, so we've been so nourished in the prayer and so nourished in the catechesis and the education. You can't give to other people what you don't have yourself. So the church nourishes it first and then sends people forth after that.
And one of the things that in our just final moment here, Father, I found so exciting just even interviewing in this interview and then researching this, how many dioceses and parishes there are in the U.S. and in the world. And we have in our own country almost 2,200 dioceses, 2,200 parishes and 195 dioceses. And in the world, learning there's almost 18,000, dioceses, and then like almost 200 or 220,000 parishes. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And so you look at that worldwide, and then in our own diocese, we have 188 parishes and all of these people working together to serve the Lord and to, you know, as Archbishop Flood said so often, I just love the saying, to make the name of Jesus known and loved.
Well, that is what we're all, that's what we're all called to do through this holy Catholic Church. Well, thank you so much, Father Van Sloan, for joining us today. Really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Sarah, Paul. I wish you the very best today and in all of your good work.
God bless you, Father. Thank you for being a priest.
Thank you for your service. Well, you can read the article on this topic by Father Van Sloan in the Catholic Spirit newspaper. It just came out yesterday, or you can go online to thecatholicspirit.com.
And a reminder, if there's a topic you'd like to hear more about on the Rediscover Hour, please let us know. Click on Show Ideas on the lower right side of our show page or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's therediscoverhour@archspm.org.
Now, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, you're going to hear from some local Catholic school leaders about how they're answering the call to share the faith with young people and their families.
Plus, hear from a local pastor who's really going the distance to help parishioners go deeper in the faith through Rediscover. We'll explain.
And we'll take a look at Catholic events happening in our area. We'll be right back.
Rediscover. Every day we're faced with choices in our lives, although it seems these days some of those choices are made for us. Many auto insurance companies try and make you think they get to choose who does your windshield repair. But in Minnesota, that's one choice we still have. So why not choose the Auto Glass Installed Company? You'll even get to choose whether your chipped or broken windshield is fixed in your driveway or while you work, because Auto Glass Installed comes to you.
I'm Nancy Jasperson, and with my husband, Michael, we hope you choose our local company. We offer personal on-site service that's convenient to your schedule at your location. With over 3 decades of experience, we're sure you get the job done right. Only the highest quality materials are used to ensure your satisfaction and, most importantly, your safety. We will work with your insurance company, any insurance company, quickly and easily with no hassle to you.
The Auto Glass Installed Company is the choice of Relevant Radio listeners. All makes, all models, 763-274-0177, or visit relevantradio.com. Keyword glass.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Sarah Mealy.
And I'm Paul Sadek. Some good news this week for a young man who has dedicated his life to sharing the good news and helping people understand church teaching on some of the biggest issues of the day. A lot of you might be familiar with Thomas Peters, and if you're not, I'll tell you. Thomas is a fairly popular Catholic blogger. He is known as the American Papist. And that's sort of a self-deprecating joke. Papist is usually a derogatory term,
yes.
But he refers to himself as a papist.
Very proudly.
As one who follows the Pope and his teaching. And he started out a blog which was called theamericanpapist.org, and he has since joined catholicvote.org. And you can find his writings on there. But he suffered a horrible swimming accident on July 16th. It was touch and go for a long time. Seems he broke his 5th cervical vertebrae. And that's that's serious and oftentimes deadly. Well, Thomas has been in recovery for the time since then. And God sometimes just has bigger plans for us than we have for ourselves. And this is pretty much the way the journey for Thomas is going. We can only imagine how many people's lives will be changed through this. How we handle life struggles can be a witness to others about our faith and our beliefs. And his wife, Natalie, Peters has been keeping a blog on this. Thomas is on a slow road to recovery. He's being weaned off the ventilator. He's looking forward to typing again. He's 27 years old.
Very young man. He's one of those folks that I think can inspire all of us in sharing the faith. He is just so on fire for the church, for Jesus, and to see him, you know, suffer like this, but the way in which he's coming back is very inspirational.
It's amazing. And a little family note on the side here. If you're familiar with a fairly renowned canon lawyer by the name of Ed Peters, this is Ed's son, Thomas.
That makes sense.
So check out some of Tom's past writing, CatholicVote.org, and there you'll also find a link to his recovery blog to see how he's doing from day to day. Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with fellow Catholics and ask them a question.
And late last week, we caught up with the Catholic school leaders at their big meeting prior to the start of the program year. Now, we asked them, how do Catholic schools fulfill the mission of the church? And here's how they answered.
Hi, I'm Mindy Reeder, and I'm the principal of Our Lady of the Prairie in Belle Plaine and Most Holy Redeemer in Montgomery, Minnesota. They fulfill the mission of the church by bringing the children together every day to pray and to live out their faith through adoration, worship, prayer, and study, and service. They are living out that mission and learning how they can become an active part in their faith.
I'm Vicki Kalina Marvin, and I'm the principal at St. Dominic School in Northfield. I think Catholic schools play a very large role in fulfilling the mission of the church because the mission is to educate children and other people in the Catholic faith. And through the Catholic schools, we are able to do that all day long, every day of the week, and it's not just a single class or an hour here and there, but it really is an opportunity for kids to live their faith throughout the entire day.
My name is Patrick Fox, principal at St. Michael Catholic School in Prior Lake. As soon as a student enrolls in the school, along with his or her family, they learn how to live the gospel message in so many ways throughout all the activities in the school, participation in weekly mass, just the Catholic Christian values that we obviously promote and then live out on a daily basis around the school.
Hi, I'm Jenny Haller. I'm the principal at St. Michael Catholic School in St. Michael. Fulfilling the mission of the church makes me think of our own Archbishop's charge to make the name of Jesus Christ known and loved. And I believe that's our primary call. And we take that charge very seriously from preschool onward through grade 8 in helping students come to know and love Jesus through daily prayer, through weekly mass, through a variety of school celebrations as we acknowledge the liturgical year, and to just embrace our faith and integrate it every single day.
I have so much admiration for people who work in Catholic education.
Yes, they're so dedicated, and it was so great to hear those comments. They absolutely connect exactly what they do every single day to the mission of the church.
And it is so essential to
it
the
is.
Mission of the church.
Absolutely. Well, do you have an idea for a question to ask fellow Catholics here on the Rediscover Hour? If so, we want to hear about it.
There are a lot of ways to reach us. Email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. Or go and click on the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org and reach us through our show page, or contact us through relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover.
Well, if you aren't familiar with them, the Rediscover Faith 2013 Speaker Series offers insightful talks and engaging speakers who use multimedia to help unpack the big ideas that are central to the Catholic faith. Now, most importantly, these insightful talks are going to show how the beauty and the depth of the Catholic faith can really lead to a deeper and a more meaningful connection with God in our lives. Now, we had those talks back in the late winter, early spring, and there was such a huge response that the talks that we did then are being offered again because of popular demand at new locations beginning September 16th. So we have the same speaker series on for the fall. And those locations now are Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata, Epiphany up in Coon Rapids, University of St. Thomas campus in St. Paul, and then Pax Christi in Eden Prairie.
And the talks drew 12,000 attendees. That's just an amazing number when they were offered earlier this year. Among those in attendance at all four talks, a bus full of parishioners from Immaculate Conception in Marysburg and Nativity of Mary in Cleveland. Good hour and a half drive to the southwest of the closest location offered earlier this year. That is some commitment. And the pastor there, Father Paul Island, led the trips up and offered these thoughts on the talks.
The speaker series talks are a great opportunity to really begin to feel welcomed in the faith. There's so many people searching today for different answers. And as the song goes, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. And this need to belong, this need to find their way, and, this need to continue to understand that they're part of the body of Christ. Whether they're practicing or not, they're still our brothers and sisters, and how can we welcome them and encourage them to not just learn about their faith, but to get to know, as Matthew Kelly said, the shepherd, get to know the person of Jesus Christ. There's something about strength and numbers and this sense of encouragement that we get that I'm not alone in this journey, that there's others that are going to help me along this path.
It was so impressive to see Father Island and those busloads of folks come single talk.
Yeah.
And as we said, that's quite a drive.
It's like a pilgrimage for them.
It was very, very impressive. And just the excitement among the folks that just consistently came to those. And there were some very big crowds at those talks. That was terribly good to see. Paul got to attend every one of those talks. I was helping out running the multimedia there. And it just, I think, blew a lot of us away who had been in the planning, just how many folks showed up to that.
And if you went to the talks before, it doesn't mean you can't go to them again.
No, I would encourage folks. In fact, I would say if you attended the talks last time, you know what they're all about. Now you're in a great position to invite others. You know, think of some folks that are in your life, maybe family members or neighbors or others, and say, hey, I went to this talk. Come with me again. And, of course, we've got them at these new locations starting the week of September 16th. And as I mentioned, the talks are going to be held on Mondays at Holy Name of Jesus out in Wyzenna, Tuesdays at Epiphany up in Coon Rapids, Wednesdays on the University of St. Thomas St. Paul campus, and then Thursdays at Pax Christi in Eden Prairie. Now, all of these talks begin at 7 p.m., and the total runtime there is 90 minutes. That's going to include some time for hospitality. All the events are free. There's no charge, Paul. And no registration is required. You don't even have to call. You can just show up. So you make plans to attend, bring a friend, a family member with you, and then for, you know, dates, other details, you can just check out rediscover-faith.org, our website. Again, that's rediscover-faith.org.
And when you're marking up your calendar, don't forget the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration. That takes place Saturday, October 12th, 2013 at the St. Paul River Center. Doors open at 7 a.m. Programming starts at 8:30 with Mass. Some amazing speakers at this event include Father Robert Barron, Matthew Kelly, Jeff Cavins, plus the music of Elliot Morris, who we heard on last week's show, and a lot of others. I'm looking forward to meeting Elliot and hearing some more of his music.
Yeah, Elliot's going to have an opportunity to sing live, Rediscover, his new song, which, by the way, Paul, is out on iTunes.
Oh, okay.
It's very impressive, yes. Yeah, so it's and exciting. He's going to sing another song as well. And as I mentioned earlier, Michelle Denise Michaels, who we heard earlier, she's also going to do a beautiful performance as well.
Look forward to that. Archbishop Neinstadt celebrates Mass at 8:30 in the morning. Bishop Lee Pache will speak at the end of the day. There's special programming opportunities for children and youth, kindergarten through 10th grade. We'll have more details on our website soon regarding this programming. There is also Spanish language programming. Adult tickets, $15. Youth grades 7 to 10, $7. Kids in kindergarten through 6th grade, just $5 each. Register now at rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org. You can see a full and detailed schedule of the day there now. If you don't have internet access, call the Rediscover team, 651-291-4411. That's 651-291-4411. They'll help you out.
And we've got another event to talk about, Tony Melendez. Many of you may have heard of him.
I love Tony.
And yeah, he's excellent. And he's going to be in concert at the Church of the Epiphany up in Coon Rapids. That's Friday, August 23rd. That's coming up, and 7 p.m. That's out in Coon Rapids. That's 111 Avenue in northwest in Coon Rapids. And there's going to be a meet and greet there for youth at 6:30. Tickets are available after Masses this weekend and at the door. It's $5 for an adult. And if you're 17 and under, it's free, which is great. And then questions, if you have any on those, you can direct them at 763-862-4363. That's 763-862-4363.
St. Jude of the Lake Catholic Church in Matamidi is holding its 29th annual parish and community-wide event of Cornfest, Saturday, September 7th, 2 to 10 p.m., opening with prayer and a kids' parade. The event includes a full menu of food items, not just corn, but the best of corn on the cob in Washington County, and a Four Seasons restaurant chicken dinner. Family fun at the Kids and Teens Zone. Super raffle with a total cash giveaway of $10,000. Bingo, brown bag raffle, craft fair, a lot more. Plus live music starting at 3:30 and headlining at 7 o'clock with the High and Mighty Band. It's at 700 Matamidi Avenue in Matamidi. Visit stjudeofthelake.org for event details and directions. Well, we'll have an encore broadcast of a special Rediscover Hour on August 25th. We'll talk with best-selling author and international speaker Father Robert Barron about his mission to re-engage Catholics in the faith, hear what he thinks about local Rediscover efforts underway here. That's the Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.